Welcome to the Queen of Curiosity, the podcast that teaches you more about the world and the people in it in 20 minutes or less, usually less. I am your host and the Queen of Curiosity, Chess. First things first, I'm a little disappointed that none of you is able to muster the strength to Google the question I put to you at the end of last week's episode. However, I'll keep my tears and handwritten letters to myself and not so silently wonder if you've already been subsumed by the coronavirus. Stay tuned for another quiz of curiosity at the end of this episode and try to not crush my spirits this time, okay? If you're an American, the political landscape right now looks a little bit like a child weeping in the ruins of her raised village. In the background, two large dragons fight for dominance, carelessly crushing and burning anything in their paths. The dragons are by and large identical, one red, one blue. A smaller, white dragon sits off to the side picking dandelions and talking about Medicare for all. You, the voter, are as consequential to this fight as the goats the dragons ate for dinner last night, which is to say, not very. It's becoming increasingly obvious that our politicians aren't working for us. To hold political office at any level these days means having a seat that allows you to enrich yourself, taking kickbacks and donations for legislation, which is implicitly not about the constituents you have at home. The dragons want money and power, and for you to justify those desires by putting them in office so they can get those things in your name. How in the fuck did we decide that these dragons were our champions? How did we get to the point where our country is so divided that at every turn we get nothing but selfish ideologues on the television delivering nothing but empty promises? Sometimes they descend on the town to burp flaming goat rib cages at you, or anyone but the dragons winning. Let's start with what just about everyone agrees is bad and an outdated idea, the Electoral College. The Electoral College is established by the Constitution, and it has literally one job, which it somehow still manages to do badly. Every 4 years, each state elects a certain number of electors based on the number of members each state has in the House of Representatives, with an extra two tacked on for each Senate seat. After the election, electors are awarded based on the number of popular votes each candidate receives. The idea is that electors will pick the candidate that the constituents vote for, but as recently as 2016, this was not the case. Hillary Clinton beat Donald Trump with an excess of about 3 million popular votes, but here we sit with Donald Trump as the president with the support of less than 30% of Americans. Every election requires a candidate to gain 270 Electoral College votes to win. The point of the system is theoretically to ensure balance between the states. The Electoral College is meant to ensure that a vote in California weighs the same as a vote in Montana. In 48 states, the Congressional College works on a winner-takes-all system, meaning whichever candidate gets a majority of the votes wins all of the electors. The issue with this is the way that the Electoral College votes means that the decision doesn't always reflect the will of the people, which the framers designed the Electoral College to do. As usual, that leaves us with more questions than we started with. Why do we use that system in America? What do other countries do? To start with, both George Washington and John Adams spoke out against party politics. Fresh off their separation with England, they knew how divisive it could be. Political parties change all the time. For example, Republicans and Democrats used to be joined in one party called the Republican Democrats. Not gonna knock early citizens of the United States, but that lacks some originality. While George Washington had no party and was unanimously elected by the Electoral College, people like to be in groups, and they like to use those groups to petition the government to do stuff. Some people like to protest slavery, other people like to be scum. Everyone needs a representative. The system is self-sustaining. It works a little like this. Parties emerge, just a group of people who want to get something done. Parties fight for control of the country to expand their visions and to work for their constituents. Parties start to expand their platforms to try to attract more voters. That leaves very little room for upstarties, with burgeoning ideas. Even if they manage to win some of the electorates, it means nothing, as there's no consolation prize in American politics. If one party gets 40% of the vote, they still get 0% of the control. There is no second place in the executive branch. Political parties are driven to further extremes, which deepens the divide and reduces the common ground between them. New parties emerge to fill the void, and as they gain members, they gain clout and a national voice. The cycle renews. You can see this playing out right now with the progressives and whatever the Trumpian fringe of the Republican Party is going to be called when it inevitably splits from true Mitt Romney conservatives. The extremes are gaining traction, but moderates feel marginalized by them and inevitably will start some stupid party called, oh, I don't know, a return to green pastures or something like that. Are we the only ones that get it this wrong? Well, we can take a look at other functional democracies. Some countries take a more pragmatic approach to this and allow for the formation of coalition governments. Coalition governments, in which no party has a majority, can be more representative of the constituents they serve. In the United Kingdom, for example, there are 5 major parties vying for control at any time. Members of all parties are represented in Parliament, and they have the ability to form a coalition government if neither has the votes to form a majority. Though the United Kingdom is a constitutional monarchy, it is also a representative democracy, where the people choose the actual representative sitting in Parliament, the rough equivalent of state senators. Unlike in the United States, the prime minister is chosen by these representatives, chosen by the people, as opposed to a handful of electors chosen by the state. In Brazil, where voting is compulsory and you can write in essentially whatever you want in your vote, they have approximately 1 million political parties. In 2019, the government was formed by representatives of 20 political parties, and they were all voted in by the people. The amount of representatives each party has is directly tied to the percentage of votes those parties received. If your party gets 40% of the votes, your representatives make up 40% of your representatives make up the legislative body. Theoretically, there is a representative in your legislative body whose opinions and ideas somewhat resemble yours. Theoretically, this encourages cooperation and compromise to enact laws that work to benefit the people. I'm not saying that any of these systems is perfect, but I am saying that there are options. In America, it's pretty clear that the system as it is now is not working. In first past the post politics, no one except the dragons win. When smaller voices are easily stifled by the mechanics of the establishment, it's hard to affect change at any level. Somewhere right here in America, a red dragon, a blue dragon, a dragon of any color, is having dinner with a lobbyist discussing laws that will make it easier for businesses and special interest groups to work against Americans. Everywhere, dragons of every color are having their pockets lined in order to entice them to work for anyone but the people who cast the ballot. So what can you do? Unsurprisingly, there is no quick and easy fix. There is no easy way to slay the dragons, for example, to make a way for a cadre of benevolent moose overlords. You'll have to cast some votes that feel pointless. Instead of voting for whichever dragon you think will take longer to eat you, vote for candidates that don't have a chance. Any political party that gains more than 3% of a vote gets federal funding in the next election cycle. Having access to federal funding would be a massive boon for smaller parties that organize on a grassroots level. It also gives them legitimacy. It's important to be informed about what's out there. I'm willing to wager that the majority of Americans can name only 2 political parties, but there are more. Find them, donate, and volunteer for their campaigns. Find one that you actually believe in, and evolve past the political party of your parents. Find a party that represents you, not the lowest common denominator. They're out there. The more we vote for fringe parties, the more we lift those voices, and the more power we take from our dragons. We may never slay them, but we can minimize their influence and take our country back. Thanks for taking the time to listen. If you want more information on two-party politics, the origin of party politics in America, or dragon slaying, visit your local library. If you're interested in getting in touch with me, you're welcome to do that by tweeting me at aqueenascurious or emailing me at thequeenofcuriosity@gmail.com. Now it's time for the best segment of the week, the one that no one's been waiting for, Quizosity. If you don't remember the drill for last week, I'm going to ask a question. If you know the answer or feel inclined to Google it, please tweet or email me the correct answer at aqueenascurious or thequeenofcuriosity@gmail.com. The first person to get it right will get some QOC swag and a nice handwritten note delivered right to their door. Ready? Here we go. One of the earliest party politics in American politics, a holdover from England, were the Whigs, W-H-I-G. What does Whig stand for? Again, what does Whig, W-H-I-G, stand for? Pull this memory out of the dusty recesses of your brain, brush it off, and send me the answer. That is all the time we have for this week. It has been a pleasure chatting with you. If you're interested in supporting the podcast, please tell smart people to listen to it and rate and comment wherever you happen to be listening today. I know your time is limited, and I appreciate you spending some of it with me. Have a great week. See you next Thursday.